Now I want to read a portion of God's word this morning, and our reading is found in the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua chapter 6. And we're going to read down the chapter to verse number 20. Joshua chapter 6. And reading in verse 1 down the chapter to verse 20. Joshua chapter 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take of the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. On the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great voice, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And we know that God will bless the reading of his own holy and precious word. Now, this portion that we have read together, it brings before us one of the great stories that we find in the Bible. I'm sure that from our earliest Sunday school days, those that traveled that way of life and went to Sunday school from their early days were made familiar with the story of Joshua at Jericho. Remember that Moses led the children of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years. And then Moses died. It says here at the beginning of the book of Joshua, God says to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel." So Joshua was picked out by God and chosen by God to fill the shoes of Moses and to lead the people into the land. To do that, they had to cross the Jordan and go into this land of promise. Remember, they were told it was flowing with milk and honey. But to go in and experience and take the benefits that were in the land, they had to cross the Jordan and go in and possess their possessions and enjoy the blessings that God had for them. And so we find that the children of Israel, under the leadership of Joshua, have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan. And this is a great book, this book of Joshua. It's good to read it from time to time. And remember, that's the historical outlay of the story. But of course, as we come this morning, we want to make that spiritual application to our own hearts, and we want to seek to take from the story those things that will help us in our daily walk and in our daily life with God. And I believe this morning with many others that crossing the Jordan, it speaks of the Christian leaving the old life and leaving the things that occupied them in the days before their salvation, leaving the old life and leaving the world and dying to those things, leaving them behind and crossing over them and entering into the Christ life. You remember that Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead to those things that I used to be taken up with. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." So it speaks of dying to the world, to the flesh, and to the devil, and entering in to possess our possessions and all the blessings that God has for us. We'll find that the children of Israel here, if you read the chapters preceding this one, you'll find that they abode for a while at a place called Gilgal. And at Gilgal, they abode there and they learned many vital and important lessons at this place called Gilgal, so that they were able to prepare themselves as they sought to take Jericho and the rest of the land. And so when they moved from Gilgal after that period, they were ready to face Jericho. Jericho was a key city as far as Joshua and the children of Israel was concerned. It was a powerful fortress, and it was barring Israel's way to progress. If they were going to make progress, if they were going to go in and possess the land that God had promised them, remember, then they needed to conquer, they needed to take Jericho. It stood in the way. It barred them from future blessing. It was a hindrance to progress. And so Jericho had to be overcome. It had to be conquered if they were going to occupy the land. And we want to entitle this message this morning, Joshua and Jericho, because there's three things I want to underline this morning about Joshua and Jericho. Number one, Joshua facing Jericho. Number two, Joshua conquering Jericho. And number three, Joshua destroying Jericho. And remember, we're making the application to the real historical story, the things that took place. We're wanting this morning to make that spiritual application to your life and to mine. So first of all, we want to think about Joshua facing Jericho. Jericho stood in the way, a formidable problem. Humanly speaking, there was no way around it. There was no way through it. There was no way over it. The walls were high and broad. And Joshua was faced with a problem. It was a big problem. He faced a mighty foe. And you know, friends, if we want to enter into blessing this morning, and we want to enter into the fullness of salvation and enjoy all the blessings that God has promised us and that God has given us, and if we're going to possess the blessings, then we'll come to Jerichos in our life. And there's Jerichos that will have to be conquered and faced and overcome if we're going to enjoy all the blessings and the mercies and the goodness and all the possessions that we have in Christ. You remember the Apostle Paul says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, and those blessings are there for us, but we need to go in and possess them. We need to claim that which is rightfully ours. You know, there's Jerichos we need to face. These Jerichos, they need to be overcome. The first one I would call the Jericho of sin. The Jericho of sin. My, if we're going to be blessed and enjoy and possess and really enter into our Christian experience, then the Jericho of sin must be removed. It stands in the way. Remember the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 1. My, after he had given us all those great characters of faith in chapter 11, he says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, or seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of testimony bearers, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And what the writer is saying is this: if we're going to run the race, then we need to lay aside the things that weigh us down, the things that hinder us, the things that keep us back from surrendering our all to God and being totally committed to God. You know, when the athlete gets onto the running track to run on the race, he takes off everything but the bare essentials, a vest, a pair of running trunks, and a pair of shoes. He lays aside everything that weighs him down, everything that keeps him back. My dear friends, he lays those things aside. Maybe there's things in your life or mine this morning that hinders us, keeps us back, weighs us down, keeps us from enjoying real liberty. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. You see, sin in our life, whatever kind of sin it may be, my dear friends, it will hinder blessing. It needs to be conquered. My sin hinders prayer from being answered. The psalmist said in Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. My sin hinders progress from being made. In the chapter after this, you remember how they went on to the little city of Ai? And the little city was small in comparison to Jericho. And Joshua only sent a smaller army to take the city of Ai. Took it for granted they would no bother. But you know, friends, the Israelites were defeated today. Do you know why? Because there was a man called Achan there. And Achan had taken a goodly Babylonish garments and silver and gold, and he had hid them in his tent. He had taken of the accursed thing. And until that sin that was in the camp, until that sin was dealt with, then the Israelites were defeated. They couldn't move any further. You see, friends, sin hinders progress. It hinders prayer being answered. It hinders progress being made. It hinders power being available. In the early church, there was great power. People were saved and baptized and added to the church. There was revival blessing. And then in chapter 5 of the Acts of the Apostles, Ananias sold a possession and brought part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet, pretending to bring all. They weren't being open. They weren't being honest, this couple. And dear friends, you know, the power was stanched until that sin was dealt with. We have to face up to the Jericho of sin. Jericho was barring the way. It was hindering them. It had to be dealt with. And you know, we have to make sure that we face up to the Jericho of sin in our life. And if there's sin in our life, then we need to deal with it if we want God to bless us. The Jericho of sin. And you know, friends, sometimes there's the Jericho of self. The Jericho of self. Maybe you have a problem with the self life. You know, it's all me. It's all I. It's all about me. That's the self life. I'm important. Dear friends, we need to be taken up with Christ, not the self. It's not me, it's him. As John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. And self can be a barrier. Self, my putting self before God. Are you putting self before God this morning? Are you putting your own desires and ambitions before God's will for your life? You're putting your work life before God's work? Do you put your own house, your own home before God's house? My dear friends, there's the Jericho of sin and the Jericho of self. You know, as I thought about these things that hinder and keep us back and get into the way, there's the Jericho of the tongue. The Jericho of the tongue. James has a lot to say about the tongue, and he spends the most of a chapter dealing with the tongue, because James knew that it could be a problem, and he knew it could be a hindrance and a barrier for God's blessing. If you just turn over for a moment there to James, we'll be going back to Joshua 6 in a moment. James, it seems that the people James was writing to was having a problem with their tongues. He says here in chapter 1 and down at verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak and slow to wrath. Now, those are wise words. Sometimes we're slow to hear and quick to speak. Sometimes people speak before they think, when they would be much better thinking before they speak. So there was people here, and it seems they were having a problem with their tongue. It says, if any man, verse 26, among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Over in chapter 3, he speaks again, and he talks to them here in this chapter, verse 5. He says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You see, fire has power to destroy. And James, in this chapter, he likens the tongue to fire. And it says, you know, a little spark can cause great destruction. And we have seen that recently over in London, in Kensington. Man just took a faulty fridge, and a whole block was burned. Fire compassed it from top to bottom. Lives were lost. So much destruction. And it's the same in the body and amongst people. My, it has power to do great damage. Fire causes damage. The Bible talks about the tailbearer and about the gossiper and about the busybody and about the slanderer. And these are all terms used in the Word of God. And they're not the kind of person you would like to be. You wouldn't like to be associated with any of these. And of course, the tongue has power to defile. There's so many Jerichos, friends, that we need to conquer. There's so many Jerichos that can hinder and can bar us and keep us back from being fully committed to God and giving our full surrender over to the Lord. There's the Jericho of disharmony and disunity. There's the Jericho of fear. There's the Jericho of unbelief. There's the Jericho of lukewarmness. Joshua had to face Jericho. He had to face this formidable problem if the people of God were going to make progress and go in and possess the land. Had to be dealt with, or else the blessing would be barred. So we see here Joshua facing Jericho, and we need to face the things in our lives and the things that weigh us down and the things that hinder us, and we need to bring them, and we need to crucify them like Paul did when he said, I am crucified with Christ. But we see here not only in this great story Joshua facing Jericho, we see Joshua conquering Jericho from verse 2 through to 6. You see, as the people came to this city, it seemed impregnable. It seemed impossible. Its walls were stout and broad and high. But God told them how to conquer it. And in those opening verses, we find that God told them what they needed to do. And he said, you know, you need to send the men of war, and then followed by the priests with ram's horns before the Ark of the Covenant, and after that all the other people, and walk around the city once every day for 6 days, and tell the priests to blow with their trumpets. On the seventh day, he said, you know, they need to walk round the city seven times. And on the seventh time, the priests will blow with their trumpets with a long blast of the trumpet. And when they blow that long blast on the trumpet, then the people will shout with a great shout. And the wall will fall down flat. And you know, friends, that's exactly what they did. We find they did what God told them to do. They did what God told them to do. They did it God's way. I can imagine something like this happening today. And you know, there would be so many committees formed and so many experts brought in and paying them thousands upon thousands of pounds for their advice and so many man-made ideas of how we were going to, you know, have talks with these people and all the rest of it. And my God's way, my dear friends, God told them how to do it. God told them what they needed to do. And they did it God's way. And because they did it God's way, they were victorious. They were victorious. My dear friends, the problem, the blessing, was removed. Jericho was conquered without a shot being fired. Yes. My dear friends, people want to do things in their way today. You know, when I was a young fella running about there, in my unsaved days, there was a singer called Frank Sinatra. Very famous singer. And one of the most famous songs he ever recorded was, "I Did It My Way." I did it my way. And of course, that's the idea today. People want to do it their way. They want to do things their way. But dear friends, if we want blessing, if we want the power of God, the Holy Spirit, if we want to move forward, if we want to possess the possessions that God has given us, then we need to do things God's way. Because God's way is the best way, and God's way is in the Bible. It's the Bible's way. And I believe we need to get back to doing things God's way, doing it God's way. Yes, everything we need to know about living the Christian life is in this Bible, in that book that you hold in your hand this morning. How God wants us to live. I remember learning that he wanted me to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. He wants us to be separated from the world, not identified with worldly habits or worldly things. He wanted us to live a life of sanctification. Everything we need to know about our Christian lives, we find it here. I wonder, friends, do we seek to live for the Lord in God's way? In God's way, not in man's way, but in God's way. As far as reaching the lost, we hear a great deal about evangelism. There's some great ideas and some good ideas, but at the end of the day, we need to do it God's way. God's way is purity of life. We're going to reach people for Christ, we need to start with our own lives, because that's what they see. They see you and they see me. And your life, it will either speak for good or it will be a hindrance. God forbid that any of our lives would become a Jericho, a barrier to keeping back people from coming to the Lord. We need to live out the gospel in our life every day. We need prayer from the heart. Dear friends, we need, I believe, to get back to prayer. That's God's way. Man, that was always the Bible's way, right throughout the Bible. In Old and New Testament, people prayed and called upon their God. and they looked to God and trusted him. It was God's way. We need to get back to the preaching of the gospel. The great apostle said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And the reason he wasn't ashamed of it was it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. God forbid that we'd ever be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There's men and women laying down their lives, men and women being beheaded because they're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Need to get back to the power of the Spirit. Dear friends, conquering Jericho. Conquering Jericho. Yes, they did it God's way. They did it God's way. God told them how it could be conquered, and they did it God's way. The second thing we see about conquering Jericho, they had faith in God. They had faith in God. Joshua and the people conquered Jericho by faith in God. They took God at his word. Remember, these men were warriors. I'm sure they couldn't understand why God was asking them to do something that they'd never been asked to do before. He says, I don't want you to fight. I don't even want you to speak. All I want you to do is walk around the wall once every day for 6 days. All I want the priest to do is blow the trumpets of ram's horns. And all I want to do is the people to shout on the seventh day. And he says, that's all I want you to do, walk around the wall. And on the seventh day, walk around it 7 times. And you know, friends, they trusted God and took him at his word. And you know, there's things that happen we cannot understand. Sometimes we cannot understand the ways of God. And we're prone to argue and debate. But these people did it God's way. They did what God told them to do. And they trusted God. They took God at his word. You know, the central feature of the procession around the wall was the Ark of the Covenant. We find that it's mentioned 11 times in the chapter. And of course, these people were able to walk around the wall because they knew that God was with them. The Ark of the Covenant spoke of the Lord's presence. They were depending, as they walked around that wall, they were depending on the presence of God. God was with them. And they were depending on the promises of God, taking God and his promises, and they were depending on the power of God. The Lord didn't ask them to say a word. He didn't ask them to take Jericho on their own strength. He didn't ask them to fire a shot. He only asked them to have faith in him, to take him at his word. Dear friends, we need to know God's presence in these days. We need to be depending on the Lord. And as Joshua's army was at Jericho, it's not men, it's not methods, it's not multitudes, it's the might of God we need. My dear friends, Joshua conquering Jericho, first of all, they did what God told them to do. Secondly, they had faith in God. Third thing is this, they had unity in the ranks. The Israelites walked around the walls of Jericho together, and they were all walking the same way. They were all walking in the one direction. All walking in the one direction. There was unity in the ranks. And they were all there for the same purpose, to overthrow the enemy. And dear friends, if we want for one blessing, and I'm sure we do, if we want to see God's work going forward, making progress, I'm sure we do, You know, we all need to be going in the same direction. Going in the same, there needs to be unity in the ranks. Heard a story the other day about a man who went into the town for a message, and there was road diversions and one thing another, and for some reason he got onto the wrong slip road on the motorway, and he was driving down the dual carriageway the wrong way. And his wife rang him up on the phone and she says, "John, there's a news flash there." She said, "Somebody's driving down the road, motorway the wrong way. You need to be careful." And he said, "Mary, if you were where I was, there's hundreds driving the wrong road." Dear friends, we all need to be driving. We all need to be going the same way with the same purpose. That we're all at unity in the ranks. That we're all going in the same direction. That brings unity, doesn't it? And harmony. They had harmony in the ranks. Mind the priests blew the trumpets and the people shouted with a great voice. Everybody did what they were asked to do. There was harmony in the ranks and unity in the ranks, and there was humility. These men were men of war. They were prepared and ready for battle. God says, "You're not even to speak. You're not to do anything except march around the city." These men must have looked like fools just walking around the city. I'm sure maybe there was those on top of the walls who looked down and chided them and joked and called them fools for all they were doing. But you know, they humbled themselves and they did what God wanted them to do. Joshua facing Jericho. Joshua conquering Jericho. And in a word, Joshua destroying Jericho. Verse 21 says this, "And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword." Verse 24, "And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels and the brass and the iron, they put into the treasury of the house of God." Joshua utterly destroyed Jericho. They completely destroyed it. Dear friends, we'll only have real victory in our lives when we destroy the Jerichos in our lives. That's when we'll get victory. The Jerichos will have to be destroyed. It was a barrier in the way. It was a hindrance to progress. It was a problem that needed to be faced and needed to be removed. But Joshua, God's chosen servant, he looked to God. He obeyed God. He trusted God. And he waited upon God. And he was victorious. And the walls of Jericho fell down. My, they were removed. The barrier was removed. And the blessing was experienced. May we remove the Jerichos in our lives. And may we seek to live for God and be more than conquerors through him that loved us. May God bless his word for his name's sake.